views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
AM, the Internet, and beyond. Keeping you informed every step of the way. Don't be left behind. You are listening to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show.
You sure are. Tuesday, February 18th, 2014, number 67 since being in the YNTS studio. Now currently airing on It's Your Radio, Route 1 Radio, Best After Dark, Transformation Talk Radio, WBOQ AM 1230, Audio Graded, and Boost Radio Network. Really great to be on all of them. Our toll-free number, 855-712-YNTS, 855-712-9687. Email me, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. Spell it right. And www.yoandrewnts.com. We'll speak with my friend Jeffrey Saye next. Fear in the Olympics. President Obama, he met with King Jordan. Second hour of the program. Thanks for being with me. Another Tuesday night just going on by. And I know you're listening, and you can listen to me from anywhere. We're a syndicated radio program, AM, the Internet, and beyond. Welcome to the program. My name is Yo Andrew. Howard Forrest, my phone screener, did take off tonight. Assistant producer. Excuse me, executive producer. She has so many names. My friend, Mary Clinton Skowke. Moon Summer, my voiceover personality. And my father here, sitting, spectating, Teddy Giordano. When it comes to international news, I always bring on my friend Jeffrey Saye. It just became a duty of mine that, okay, we're speaking about international news. Time to bring on Jeffrey. Time to bring him on. And it's so funny how we were just classmates in college my senior year. And it's just funny how me and him, we did not argue with each other. We agreed with each other. And we just kept bothering our professor, Professor Skelly, who's been on this program also. It is just so much fun. Well, I want to introduce him. I don't want to keep him waiting any longer. He's a 21-year-old Concordia College junior. Worked for the permanent mission of the Hashemi Kingdom of Jordan to the United Nations. Young as ever to receive such a status, former human rights officer at the United Nations. His future plans, unless they change since I spoke to him, attends either law school, the School of Government, Foreign Affairs, and attends on joining the U.S. State Department with political ambitions on becoming the next U.S. ambassador to the U.N. or to Jordan. That would be something, right? Imagine him being on my show with that role. Jeffrey Saye is on my phone line. Jeffrey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing really well, and it's been so long since we spoke. Hope everything's well.
Yes, all is well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a good days, it's been bad days, but when it comes to these 2 hours, everything comes in place.
Agreed.
Jeffrey, I want to begin our conversation. And again, when you and me speak, it's always about international affair or politics. And before I get into the Olympics, that's been going on the past several days. President Obama, he went to California, and the King of Jordan came to the United States to meet with him. And before I get into what the president and the King of Jordan, King Abdullah II, spoke about, what is the relationship between the United States and Jordan?
Well, Andrew, Jordan and the United States have had a good, proper diplomatic relationship ever since the founding of the country in 1946. The two have evolved into a better friendship after Jordan was one of two Arab countries to ratify a peace treaty with one of the U.S.'s longest allies, Israel. So Jordan and Israel have been allies since 1993. And ever since then, Jordan and the United States have maintained a proper diplomatic friendship throughout the years.
So now we see the King of Jordan come all the way to the United States, all the way to the state of California, to speak with the president. What are these two speaking about? Are they? I did read some news of Jordan might be struggling with something. And, of course, we do still see the war on Syria. Since we were classmates in college, the war on Syria is still going on. And then, of course, we see many riots around. What might they be talking about?
Well, Andrew, as you're probably aware, in the past 2.5 years, we have seen a collapse in former republics and some of them constitutional republics with the Arabs, with the uprising with the Arab Spring. So that was definitely on the agenda of discussion. And I'm sure you're also well aware of the situation ongoing in Syria, the Syrian civil war. So that was the main point in the discussion. And Jordan, in the past 2.5 years, has played host to over currently 600,000 Syrian refugees, which have fled Syria and are seeking refuge in Jordan. And at the current time, Jordan is a country surrounded by many other Arab countries with a vast amount of natural resources. When I say natural resources, I mean water and oil. And Jordan is a country that does not have natural resources. It doesn't have a large amount of water. So the topic of discussion was mostly how to protect the refugees and how to maintain the economy in Jordan.
Now, the United States, you see many critics here on our soil, always saying that we should not be worrying about anyone but ourselves and we should be isolated. And right now, how you just said that President Obama was speaking to King Abdullah II about trying to protect, trying to, you know, sustain what is going on. I mean, do you think that the United States maybe should, you know, should we help Jordan? Or then, in other words, should we aid many of these countries? Or this is something that's a little bit smaller, so everything I'm saying kind of is irrelevant?
Well, it's not irrelevant because, as you know, the United States has been fighting many wars in the past 10 years,
Especially
the war on terror. And Jordan, where it's situated, is in the heart of the Middle East. So Jordan borders approximately, I believe, 5 countries. We have Syria, we have Saudi Arabia, we have Israel, we have Egypt, and we have the Palestinian territories. So one of the biggest problems is that Jordan is a ally of the United States, and it is also a ally of Israel. And Jordan cannot afford to be lost to Al-Qaeda terrorists or infiltrated by other radical groups that are looking to cause instability in the country. So for Jordan's sake, it's a prime U.S. ally in the region in many diverse amounts of subjects when it comes to the Syrian civil war, when it came to the situation in Iraq, the situation in Libya, the Palestinian-Israeli question, and many other situations in the region. Jordan is a key player in many of these situations to diplomatically try to defuse the situation or try to assist in any way that it can. So I believe, frankly, that it is in the U.S.'s best interest to maintain Jordan and to assist it to the best of its capability to prevent it from any further or future problems that the country may face.
I couldn't agree with you anymore, because Jordan has been doing so much for the United States. Like you just said to my audience, they are in the heart of this war against terror that the United States has been fighting since 9/11/2001, and we're still fighting it today, and there really is no peace treaty in sight currently. So for Jordan to be helping us fight and giving us as much information as possible, and of course to protect their own country and their own people, I don't think there really is a problem if the president is coming, is going to California. King Abdullah came to the United States to speak about how we can help them, because, again, we want to help them because what they've done for us, how they've assisted us, and, well, we don't want them to fall like we see many other countries has, or see a civil war break out. We now see the Ukraine, they're ready to go at it. Venezuela is going to have two parties demonstrate tomorrow, and they've warned 48 hours for any Americans to leave. And then, like you just said, Syria's still going on. So it's just so much going on that I think the United States, yes, you're right, is the best interest of at least trying to keep a country, stable and trying to keep them isolated from all this violence that is going on in the world. Yeah.
Yeah, when you talk about many other situations occurring in, say, Ukraine or in Venezuela, most of these protests are purely economic. And when we look at the violence occurring in the Middle East, it's a protest for change in government. And quite surprisingly, we have seen the monarchies in the region become more stable rather than the republics, which have undergone major radical reforms and change and uprising. And Jordan as well has had its fair share of the Arab Spring, but every revolt and every protest that occurred in all the countries is a different protest. It's not one voice. Unlike Jordan, which ratified its constitution and had an election to democratically elect its prime minister, as opposed to Morocco, which had elected its prime minister and then changed its constitution. So Morocco is now, which was an ally of the United States, is now seen as a radical monarchy due to the Islamist involvement in the government now.
And even if it is a economical change or a government change, a Islamist movement that might be very radical somehow seems to enter the picture. If the economy is going down, and we see in Venezuela, we see very high inflation and resources now being very scarce. So now we see a group that might be very radical come in, give peace a chance, look what we can do to change all this, and then we see the complete opposite. And like you said, also the change of government right now in Syria. We are speaking with Jeffrey Saye, former human rights officer for the United Nations, and we are speaking about the meeting with President Obama and King Abdullah II in Jordan that we saw this past weekend. And now I actually want to get into the Olympics. And while everyone's getting all excited, especially the U.S. hockey team that might actually hit gold, you and me, Jeff, we look at it in a different way. And right now we might see some fear going on. And many disagree with a few of Russia's policies, though, because they're the ones, Sochi, Russia, they're the ones that are hosting it. And after learning about Russia through the Olympics, what they might do to their people and policies that they agree and disagree with, I think Russia should, that's their problem. That's how they handle their situations. And I don't think the United States or anyone should come in and try to force a change that. Do you agree?
Yes, I agree with you 100%, Andrew. You see, Russia is a sovereign country of its own. It's also a world nuclear power and a permanent representative at the United Nations Security Council. And as you and I are aware, that Russia and the United States, up to 22 years ago, we were in the Cold War. And frankly, I don't believe that we should be preaching our rights to another sovereign country, because we don't want any problems to escalate in the future. We don't want any problems with Russia. We just want to maintain a diplomatic, peaceful relationship as we've had ever since the collapse of the Soviet Union.
And while many, like us, we believe that if they're not hurting anyone, if they're not breaking any international rules, and it's policies that eventually might change, I think we should leave it alone. But there are, of course, many groups that will not leave it alone. And what they're doing is they're creating fear. Many experts and news outlets, before the Olympics and even right now during it, they are saying that there was a very high chance of a terrorist attack during these games. Yet now, after seeing a few weeks ago that bombing very close to the Olympics, now it looks like it's been quiet. It looks like nothing's even going on, that this is their new weapon that we really need to look into. Even though we already know that was their first goal back during 9/11, to create fear. But look what they're doing. They scare us in the beginning, and then they go quiet for some time. How would the United Nations, because this could be an international conflict, how could we go about this if they come out, they create fear, and then during the event that we thought they would enter these groups, these radical groups, they don't?
Well, Andrew, in terms of the question of fear, we have seen in the past few months, we have seen bombings in Volgograd, which had killed approximately 30 people and injured many others. And Volgograd is not too far from where Sochi is, and the terrorist group, Caucus Emiratus, also known as Emirat or Kavats, it's hard to pronounce because it's a Russian name. These are jihadist Islamists that are looking for Russian forces to pull out of the Karsakin region of Russia. They are looking for their independence, and they're looking to remove themselves from Moscow. Now, the group's leader that had taken responsibility for the Volgograd bombing was killed. His name was Duko Omarov. And apparently the threat isn't coming from the male side of the group. It's coming from the female aspect of the group. Now, at the current moment, the Russian security forces and many other intelligence agencies are on the lookout for three widows. They're known as the Black Widows. And these females, one of them was the former spouse of the group leader, is vowing revenge against the Olympics. Now, I can't really tell you if there's going to be an attack or a bombing or any form of security threat, which there already is, but anything major that's going to happen near Sochi or within the Olympic community. Now, what I can tell you is that President Vladimir Putin and Prime Minister Dmitry Maldives have placed over 40,000 troops within the Sochi area and the surrounding areas in the mountains, and we can see that the United States is assisting by having two of its naval warships, both the USS Whitney and the USS Taylor, which is a naval frigate that's in the coast of the Black Sea, to, in the event of an emergency, they will assist by evacuating American citizens. Those ships are well equipped with helicopters and military personnel and medical facilities. And if the event of a real situation, there are planes waiting at the U.S. Air Force Base in Ramstein, Germany, that are willing to fly to Sochi to evacuate American citizens. Now, as well, in terms of the threat within Russia, the preventing measures that are taking place currently, what we don't know about, that's not being written about, is that President Putin has approximately 200,000 Russian troops surrounding the Chechnyan and Dagestan area of the south of Russia near the Black Sea. Now, Chechnya is a sovereign country of its own, and Dagestan is a country of its own. But this is where the majority of these extremists are coming from, and this is their hub, where they're trying to seek refuge away from Russian forces. But I'm sure eventually they will catch up to them and they will face justice.
And I would agree with what Vladimir Putin is doing and what the United States is doing. Well, first, I agree with you, and that's the hardest part when it comes to the war against terror. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know if anything's going to happen. And that's what makes this word fear, It depends how you portray fear. One of the hardest weapons, one of the hardest we have ever come upon in our history. Now, yeah, I agree. Vladimir Putin, all these troops, we're all safe. I don't agree with it. Because let's look at the Super Bowl right here. We, again, we saw New Jersey and New York. We saw, you know, thousands of officers, SWAT teams, snipers up on top of the stadium, one sniper in a helicopter. But if you remember what happened, a young gentleman who was trying to make a statement on 9/11 got onto a bus, got all the way to the stadium, got into the press room where they were speaking with the MVP, got to say his word and left. And even though no one really thought like I did on this, this young man could have had a weapon, or he could have done a lot more. And if he got into that press room, there could have been a lot more damage. So you can tell me thousands of troops and thousands of officers are around. But what I do know is this. I really feel there's a lot more that we need to do. We are speaking with Jeffrey Saye, former United Nations officer. Former human rights officer. And we are speaking about fear in the Olympics and President Obama and the King of Jordan's discussion over the weekend. And I see a lot of you guys are emailing and calling about Jeffrey, like always. But I'm going to take the first caller, ends with 6184. Tell me what's your name, where you're calling from, and what you'd like to say to Jeffrey. You're on the air.
Thank you. Nice talking to you, Anthony. My name is Ibn SK, and I just had a quick question on the relation between the U.S. and Russia.
Yep.
And I wanted to know, after what they did with Snowden, is there any way we could rebuild the relationship with them and get it in a positive way?
That's a great question.
Well, when we look at the situation currently going on between the United States and Russia over their position to give Snowden political asylum in Russia, I do feel that eventually we will see better relations building up in the next few years over their urge to give him political asylum. After all, Snowden was considered to be the whistleblower, and he blew the whistle on the United States' spying activities on many foreign leaders, dignitaries, countries, intelligence agencies. So Russia definitely loves having him there. They love seeking all the information that they can get out of him. But at the same time, Russia said, in order, if you want to stay in Russia, you have to stop leaking information to the press and to us regarding the United States, because this can cause an even further international incident where it could probably bring the United States and Russia back into another Cold War. And frankly, between two countries that have and possess nuclear weapons and capabilities of that, I don't think both sides want to go into another war. So I think the best situation between the both countries is for them to deal with it diplomatically, and soon when his visa expires in Russia, I'm sure he's going to have to try and seek temporary asylum in another country, but I'm sure he'll be caught up in no time with U.S. officials.
Thank you very much, Jeff. That was pretty accurate on everything. It was nice talking to you, and hopefully I'll talk to you again next time you're on the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. And Jeffrey, you're already getting some emails also. And by the way, you can call in 855-712-YNTS, 855-712-9687, toll-free. You can email me, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com, or you can go on my website, yoandrewnts.com, and email through there. And I see many of you are doing that. I'm glad that's helping everyone. But we do have an email right here. We have a few emails. I hope we can get through to a lot of them. This one comes from Joseph, and he is a Syrian in Antigua. And he writes this, Jeffrey: I am living in the island nation of Antigua and come from Syrian descent. We are all listening to the show since we know the Saye family. Please ask Jeff to talk more about America's newfound love and support for Al-Qaeda. Can you please do that, Jeff? And by the way, thank you for listening from all the way over there. Really appreciate it.
Well, my answer to Joseph is that in the beginning of the Syrian civil war and the uprising against President Bashar al-Assad, we see a lot of political factions coming together. Now, Syria is a very tricky situation. It's a little bit different than what's going on in Iraq, because Syria has a lot of different minority sects and majority sects. So, as an example, we have Sunni, Shiites, Alawites, Christians, Druze. We have many others as well living in Syria. And as you know, Andrew, that the president of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, is an Alawite, which is a form of a Shiite Muslim. And we see the Christians community hovering and supporting the president due to the fear that, because the Al-Qaeda sect of Iraq is coming into Syria to fight against government forces, and which is leading to the current instability. So the United States has always had a negative relationship with the Syrian Arab Republic due to Bashar al-Assad's father, Hafez al-Assad. Now, this is, to my knowledge, the second uprising to take place in Syria under the Assad family's 42-year rule. Under his father's rule, we have seen over 10,000 killed in civil war. But at that time, there was, you know, less media footage and social networking did not exist, so the word really did not get out. So, as well, given Bashar al-Assad's friendship with two, we see his friendship with the Islamic Republic of Iran, and he had a staunch friendship with former president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, who was seen as a collaborator and an inspirer to many radical groups that wanted to do many Western nations and allies of the United States harm by using their newfound chemical resources and their building of a nuclear facility. So this is seen as a threat for the most of us. Now, when we look at the Syrian the Syrian conflict, we see a lot of people looking to overthrow the president, as we've learned from Libya. We gave Libya many weapons and to fight against Colonel Gaddafi's forces, and obviously Gaddafi lost and he died in the process. But now we are thinking twice after a year and a half and 2 years into the conflict about who we're giving the weapons to. Now, unfortunately, a lot of weapons are already on the ground and they are being used by radicals, by revolutionaries, by Al-Qaeda groups to fight against the government. Now, the next big question, if anything were to happen in the next coming months, weeks, days, or even a year into the conflict, if the president does decide to step down from power, and if there is a transitional government in process, is what's going to happen in Syria? How are we going to reclaim the weapons? How are we going to remove these groups from power and inspiration? So this is going to be the next step. Syria is going to be a very tricky process.
Jeffrey Saye, former human rights officer for the United Nations, one of my good friends. Jeff, thanks for coming on the program. Really appreciate it. And before we let you go, we do have one more email that we want to get to really quickly, and then we have to go and move on our separate ways. But it's always good talking to you. This is an email from Justin, and he writes this. I would love to hear Jeff's opinion on the gay rights in the Olympics and the media's portrayal on the Syrian war.
Okay.
I guess we should go into the...
I was just finishing...
Yeah, right. We're going from Syria back. I'm telling you mentioned Syria, and everyone's going to talk about it. It's just... No one really talks about it until you mention
everyone's
it.
Everyone's going to talk about it.
All right. Well, let's hope your opinion on gay rights in the Olympics. I mean, and yes, and Jeff is right. We have seen a lot of controversy a few weeks before it happened. So really quick, what's your opinion and the media's portrayal in the Syrian war? Two different issues coming at you, Jeff.
Well, when we look at the gay rights issue currently going on in Russia, we have seen a global stance and change. for the issue, and we have seen many countries hold their ground and say, no, we're not going to allow it. Now, Russia is a sovereign, independent country, and it's also a Christian state founded on Orthodox values ever since the time of the Tsar of Russia. So Vladimir Putin, President Putin, is saying he's not against it. He just doesn't want it to be open as it is here in New York when we have parades and when we have movements. He doesn't want it to be inspired. He'll say, if you are someone that is a homosexual, it is okay to be one. But he just doesn't want it to be paraded around, and he does not want to see it developing into something even bigger in Russia. He wants to maintain Russia's Christian values, and he wants to maintain it as an open policy, but also a closed policy at the same time. It's a very controversial issue to really talk about when we mention gay rights. Now, when we look at the media's perspective of what's going on in Russia, like I said earlier, we don't want to have and we don't want to create bad relations with Russia, because if we keep knocking Vladimir Putin and his government, and if we keep knocking the Sochi Games and the surroundings of the games and the threats and the gay rights issue going on currently in Russia, I personally feel that we're going to have an even bigger problem in the near future between Russia and the United States. And I think the biggest question that's going to be asked in the near future, or even at the next Olympic Games that's going to take place this summer, I believe, in Brazil. I think it's this summer in Brazil, or when we look at the games that are going to take place in Qatar later on, how is Sochi going to be remembered? How is it going to be viewed by others? And what's going to be the outcome of the game? Will the media's perspective change Vladimir Putin's ways and say, okay, listen, we're going to allow you guys to practice and do whatever you want, but keep it quiet? Or is it going to become an open policy like we've seen in many other European and Western countries? So this is something that we're going to learn from and see what's going to evolve from it after the Olympics are finished and possibly years to come.
Jeffrey, you are
the next question is?
Well, you are so popular on this program. Jeffrey, I'm going to put you on hold. We have another caller who wants to speak to you and another email. I'm going to put you on mute, okay? So you are still on my line. I have to go to break or someone's not going to like me. Don't be left behind. We're taking your calls with Jeffrey about the Olympics, the fear in the Olympics. It looks like we're getting into Syria all over again. And we're also even getting into the president's conversation over the weekend with the president of the king of Jordan, King Abdullah II. Don't be left behind.
Call Yo Andrew now at 855-712-YNTS, 855-712-9687.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you can make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true, and going back to college is now easier than ever, because now MyCollegeLaptop.com can help you find an online college that will provide you with a laptop to help you earn your degree. Get that laptop now and start earning your degree from accredited online colleges and universities nationwide. Call now. 1-800-579-9189. That's 800-579-9189.
The Amazon's rainforest is being cut down so fast that by 2030, 55% of it could be completely wiped out. The Earth's forests can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org. 100 years ago, there were 100,000 tigers in the wild. Today, there are as few as 3,200. The Earth's wild animals can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us on and off the air with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. If you don't trust the information reported to you,
stop this.
Let Yo Andrew get the job done. Call Yo Andrew now at 855-712-YNTS, 855-712-9687.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with our friend Jeffrey Saye, former human rights officer. We're going to speak with him for a little bit longer, and then we do have to sadly leave him and then move on to our sound clip of wisdom to end off the program. We are speaking about the fear in Russia during the Olympics, the conversation between President Obama and the King of Jordan, King Abdullah II, and of course we got into Syria. I don't know what happened there. Well, right now we are taking another call. The number is N2151. What's your name and what do you like to say to Jeffrey? You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Noah William. Jeffrey, I have a quick question. Don't you think it's about time as a nation we stop focusing about other people's problems and focus on the problems we have at home?
Wait, we got to get Jeffrey on the air.
Yep.
Okay, Jeffrey. Yep.
That's a very good question. I do believe that we need to stop being the world's policeman and focusing at issues here at home, such as labor issues and economic issues and various others. But when it comes to global and foreign policy, we need to as well protect our international interests. And when I speak about international interests, I mean we need to protect our economic interests and our diplomatic interests abroad in many other countries. So it's a vice versa stance. But personally, I do feel that we need to take a step back from foreign policies in different countries and truly do some work here back at home.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. And we do have an email for you again, Jeffrey. And this email is from Kareem. And he is asking you this question. So we're going right back into Syria again. And the question says, do you agree with Bashar Assad and do you believe he is a true dictator?
Well, Kareem, that's a difficult question to really answer. I can agree with him and I can also disagree with him. I can't agree with him fully. Truthfully, I do believe he is a dictator, but before the Arab Spring and the vast uprisings that have taken place throughout the Middle East and the Gulf Arab states, Bashar al-Assad was a loved leader by his people, was truly loved, and there were no problems taking place. Now, the problem with President Assad is that, unlike many other countries besides the United States, there are people within his inner circle, which also help control and run the country. The Arab Spring had really brought a lot of tension to the entire region and to other countries where anybody that spoke or said or wrote anything negative about the government or its leader had to be dealt with, in their opinion, that is not in my opinion, in their opinion, they had to be dealt with in order to save the rest of the country and to prevent their countries from falling into civil war, uprisings, revolution, however you want to call it. So it's a really touchy subject.
Everything we talk about here, Jeff, is touchy. Everything, especially when it comes to Syria. Well, Jeffrey, we sadly have to let you go. It's always a pleasure talking with you about international issues. And
pleasure
even
as
though
well,
we did not even expect Syria, we were doing the little pre-show, and we did the little pre-show interview, and we did not once question Syria. Well, Jeffrey Saieh, he is a former human rights officer for the United Nations and always a guest on this program when it comes to international issues and questions. Jeffrey, again, we do have other emails and calls coming through. If you want to Facebook me, if you want to Facebook me your email, I'll be glad to forward this email over to you. Jeffrey, have a good night. Thanks always. Always a pleasure.
Andrew, it was my pleasure. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and I hope we can do this again another time. Thank you very much, and have a good evening.
Yep, you too, Jeff. Thanks. Always a pleasure. The pleasure is mine. And if we didn't get your emails or your calls, our apologies. We are on time. It is a radio show. But I will be glad to forward over your questions to Jeffrey. And you know he'll be on in the next few weeks to speak about something else. It is always a pleasure to speak with Jeff. I'm going to break. When I come back, sound clip of wisdom. Always a way to end up the program. Thanks for listening. Don't put it behind.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News talk show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at YoAndrewNTS.
Many ask what it is. Many ask where is a cure. Sadly, it's not easy. Endometriosis is a non-fatal cancer-like disease affecting 176 million women around the world that need your help. That's why Knockout Endo, an organization seeking nonprofit status, is continuing to fundraise and raise awareness for women with endometriosis. Check out our website, www.knockoutendo.com, to learn what we're doing to defeat this disease every day. Being informed will help you understand why donating is so important. You can help by purchasing items from our website or funding more commercials like these. Don't sit down, but get up to knock out endometriosis.
My name is Dr. Howard Dinowitz. I'm a practicing podiatrist for near 30 years in the borough of Brooklyn. If you come to our office, we're going to take care of a multitude of all the foot problems that can affect your feet. We take care of painful ingrown nails, painful heels, painful arthritic condition, diabetic conditions, running injuries, sports-related injuries, overuse injuries, skin problems, anything that affects the foot from geriatrics to pediatrics and everybody in between. We're going to educate you. We're going to give you the comfort zone in going forward and everything that you need. Our philosophy is to be non-invasive and non-surgical. Anything it takes to educate you, to address the problem, and have you leaving knowing that everything was taken care of, we'll do.
Geico presents Strange Saving Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Discover and save your favorite radio stations by registering on Radionomy.com. On Radionomy.com, you can completely customize your experience. Not only that, but with your free membership, you will automatically take part in our monthly drawing to win ridiculously cool prizes. Don't sit on your hands. Join Radionomy.com and enjoy the benefits.
Radionomy.com, the radio experience.
Brio, heroes wear capes. Most wear jeans or sweaters or suits, just like ordinary people, because that's what they are. They are the 1.2 million members of Rotary, men and women whose superpowers are the capacity to care and the desire to make the world better. So the next time you need a superhero, don't look in the sky, look in the mirror. Learn more at Rotary.org. Rotary, humanity in motion.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Tweeting is not a new trend. How about Tweet Yo Andrew on the air and off the air at Andrew Tweet Geo.
Can you really lose weight just by walking at home? Oh my, you can really lose weight. We have story after story after story. Here's just a few.
I started seeing results within the first 4 or 5 days.
I was down 10 pounds in that first month, 11 pounds, and it was motivating. Every time the scale moved, I did another workout because I wanted the scale to move some more.
It gives you a great positive attitude where you can just take on anything.
Within the first 3 weeks, I lost 12 pounds.
I became very, very healthy and dropped 80 pounds.
I've lost 104 pounds.
I've lost probably 145 pounds.
I've lost 260 pounds with Leslie's walking program.
I lost 90 pounds, and I've been maintaining that weight loss ever since.
I weigh 266.6 pounds, and I've lost almost 100 pounds.
I lost 100 pounds in 9 months, and I think that's fast enough.
This is a walking workout that all ages can do and get these great benefits. A stronger heart and lungs. Now that means you have more energy all day long. Conditioned muscles give you a faster metabolism. And movement that offers full ranges of motion to keep you flexible and strong as you move through your day. It's ready when you are. You can walk for fitness and healthy weight loss any time of the day or night that fits your schedule.
It's time to walk the walk.
It's Sound Clip of Wisdom time. Welcome back to the program. Always a good conversation with Jeffrey. Always. That's why he keeps coming back on. Now, this is good. Our friend, Irish Wolfhound, @5IWHOA on Twitter. He tweeted to me, DreamWorks beat Disney to the punch. Breaking barriers. Think Princess Fiona is plus size, #Shrek with the picture of Fiona. And in the beginning of the show, when we were speaking about Disney princesses, we mentioned Shrek so many times. We've mentioned Fiona as one of our prime examples. And I think DreamWorks did a great job when it comes to showing a plus size princess. So I agree with you, 5 points, IWOA on Twitter. But now I want to get to my sound clip of wisdom. It's a clip we play at the end of the show. Instead of saying a quote and such, we play a clip. A way of giving out a message. And you can take that message and you can speak with someone about it. And now it's starting to become more of an outside segment or an outside conversation. And this sound clip of wisdom tonight is from the popular HBO show Entourage. It was when the character Ari got an offer he can't refuse. I think this is actually be a fun conversation anyone could have. Imagine if I got an offer like this. Ari, who was an agent, who then got his own company, he now gets a phone call from the chairman, CEO, and guess what he has to say to him? Here's the clip.
Hello?
I've emailed and called you a dozen times, Ari.
John?
Where you been hiding?
I am in heaven, John. I left my Barry and all my troubles behind.
You vanished, like Salman Rushdie.
I wonder if he was this happy.
Are you really?
Can't you hear me smile?
I want you back here, Ari.
Not gonna happen, John.
You passed on running my studio once, which I thought was asinine. Are you really silly enough to pass on an offer from me twice?
Your studio head is doing a great job. You don't need me.
I don't want you to replace her. I want you to replace me.
As chairman and CEO.
It's my time. And yours.
John.
This is not just about movies.
It's about a film division that grossed $4 billion.
It's about a television network and three premium cable networks.
You want a sports franchise? Buy one yourself. Because there'll only be a handful of other people making the sort of money you'll be making.
And while everyone you know may own the fanciest clothes
and the best cars, you will own the companies that sell them.
If you want to know what heaven really is, Ari,
try being God.
Ari?
John, I just got here.
You're the only guy for this, and you know it.
Rest. Relax. I'll try you again in 1 week.
Who's that?
It was a, cable company. They want to know if we're bored and need television.
We don't need anything.
Nope.
Imagine that. Imagine getting an offer like that. Hey, I want you to be the CEO, the chairman of the company. Imagine getting a phone call. You can watch people get the fanciest clothes and the fanciest cars. You'll be owning the companies that own them. That's the funniest part about people like me. We always sit around and speak about companies and we speak about men and women who run these large corporations and now are becoming conglomerates. We never actually sit there and even think about whatever happens if you were asked, hey, I'm retiring, and I want you to be the chairman, the CEO of this whole company, and I think you're the best for it. Whoever teacher is out there, I want you to put that as a school assignment. If you were asked to be the CEO and chairman, would you take it and why? Or wouldn't you take it and why? And I would love to see young views from our young peers in this country. And that's something that you could have a conversation with someone. What would you do? You saw how that scene ended. He lied. He couldn't believe it. Is this really what I want to do? Maybe he was ecstatic. He couldn't believe it. I'm so taking this. I want a football team. I get to buy a football team. It sounds pretty good to me. So that's what I want to know. I would love for you to act a younger sibling. So if you had a chance to be CEO and chairman, and if they don't really know what that means, how about being God? You get everything. You get control of everything. If you want a law written, you got it. If you want a car, yeah, how about sell those cars? If you want a nice shirt, you can make your own shirt. You will never have to work a day in your life. You fluctuate the stock market. The stock market will never crash unless it's in your favor. That's how powerful a CEO and a chairman is in this country. And if you were asked to be a CEO and a chairman, would you take it, yes or no? I love for you to email me this question. YoAndrew@YoAndrewNTS.com throughout the week. I would love you to tweet me @AndrewTreeGio. You can Facebook me. I would love to get your answer. Would you do it? Would you not do it? And why not? This is a dream come true, right? Here it is, a platter of goodies. That's all up to you guys. It's all you. Appreciate it. I want to thank my crew, Howard Forrest Phone Screener. Really appreciate it. I want to thank my crew, Howard Forrest Phone Screener, our executive producer, Mary Clifton Skowski, Moon Summer, our voiceover girl, voiceover personality, and my father, Spectating Teddy Giordano. I want to thank all of our callers. I want to thank those who emailed us tonight. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. I want to thank our guest, Jeffrey Sayeh, former human rights officer at the United Nations. Soon enough, he'll be an ambassador, and we'll sure have him on where we'll be officially on the air somewhere in the future, even though we're on the air now. Thank all my affiliates for letting us air on their station, Boost Radio Network. It's Your Radio, audio graded, bestafterdark.com, Route 1 Radio, WBOQ AM 1230, and Transformation Talk Radio. Really appreciate it. And of course, I want to thank you, the audience. You make this show, you keep coming, you keep listening. You're doing something that I'm not doing. I'm not listening. I'm actually hosting the whole dang thing. Next week, can you believe it? End of the month. Oh, not again. Another truly weird stories. Headlines. We had a lot of headlines this month. Stay warm on the East Coast if you can. Contact me during the week. I'd love to hear from you. Don't be left behind. Take it over AM, the internet, and beyond. You just listen to a Yo Andrew News Talk Show.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world, and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question. Always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio host and motivational speaker Sue London. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.